Hey, let me jump on over here to the Right Side Way monologue, though, and I'll remind you guys that every single day, the Right Side Way monologue is brought to you by Stan McDonald, law firm Wilmer & Lee. He's a partner there. Stan McDonald, he is our daily sponsor, and I will tell you more about Stan here in just a few minutes. All right, well, it's official. I may have recovered my Facebook page. I say it's official because the may have category, I haven't personally seen it yet, but my digital people, including JP, tell me it's back. And we're actually streaming on it today. Isn't that amazing? Look, I had thousands of followers or friends or subscribers or whatever they're called on that one, and I haven't been able to access it for several years. But it appears that it's back, and I'm glad to hear it because we plan to make as much use of it as possible now that Mark Zuckerberg has had the scales drop from his eyes. I have no idea how we lost it, actually. One day I had it, the next day it was gone. We randomly looked the other day, and all of a sudden we could see the account again, but we couldn't get into it. It was back, sort of, from some long-lost social media purgatory. I really don't know why. I don't know why it went away, why I was locked out. But knowing me, I probably said something very true that hurt someone's feelings, and just like that, I was locked out. Look, it wasn't so long ago that I was also banned from Twitter, now X, and it was temporary. Somehow, some way, I offended the gods of Twitter. That's gods with a little g, by the way. They slapped me with a timeout in the penalty box for 24 hours or some such nonsense. Who knows what I allegedly said? Truthfully, looking back, I think I know what it was. There was a liberal troll who called me a, quote, domestic terrorist, and it spilled out of the fact that I had called out the liberal mayor of Birmingham for his 15,000 blanket pardons for drug possession, to which I mocked my Twitter troll laughingly with one of those memes that shows someone spitting out their coffee at something funny. I mean, how sad, though, really? How sad? How ridiculous is that? I, as a conservative, call out a liberal and then have the ubiquitous label of domestic terrorist thrown on me and I get blocked. The level to which some folks will go to make sure that you're not allowed to say something or take offense or feel triggered or need their safe space. Look, I don't know what the world would have been like if Elon Musk had not purchased Twitter. Literally, carried a kitchen sink in the front door, fired all the snowflakes, and rebranded it as X. Does anybody even know where Jack Dorsey is now? Remember him? The guy that looked like a hobo and ran old Twitter like a censorship machine? Where is he now? Sort of like the Bible says, you will look for them and they will not be found. But seriously, the level to which the left used to go, very recently actually, to make sure that nothing was said that triggered anyone or caused any offense or shocked the sensitive natures or stepped on their baby goat toes or made them feel bad for having a therapy peacock or something, it was really amazing. And it was sad. It was like one tantrum after another. My suggestion, take it for what it's worth, my suggestion is that real life needs to get back to the life we see in the movies. And I know that sounded weird, but bear with me here. In fact, let me do it this way. You name me your favorite movie. You name it. And I guarantee there's parts of it that you can quote like outright. The kind of quotes like where you're sitting there mouthing the words and people in the room look at you and ask, so how many times have you watched this movie? After which you just kind of try to restrain yourself and just mouth the words more quietly. Charlene knows that if we're watching TV together and we're not yet settled on something, there's the very real risk that I might stop on a channel as I'm surfing through that has one of those favorite movies, which might usually cause her to say, I don't recall agreeing to watch this one, after which I give the pleading look and quickly look back to the TV saying something lame like, yeah, but it's almost to the part that so-and-so says so-and-so. Can we just wait a minute? On a good day, she'll just give me a look that I can feel more than see, and with a deep sigh, she'll just go back to her phone and look at her social media while I pretend I just wanted to watch for a minute. She's listening right now, so I may have given away too much information. But listen, I've got several of those movies that I can't resist stopping on to see what part the storyline is in, and of course, there's all the quotes. Let's think about those quotes for a minute, and then I'll get back to my point. One of them is, Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou? I love that movie. Charlene hates it. But there's more one-liners out of that single film than any other. Like, every time my team in Baghdad had a bad day or a bad moment, it was inevitable somebody on our team would go, come on in, fellas, the water's fine. Direct from the movie. Or how about the outlaw Josie Wales? You gonna pull them pistols or whistle Dixie? Clint Eastwood is such an icon. Or then, of course, there's Braveheart. Where are you going? Going to pick a fight. Sure as we didn't get dressed up for nothing. And then there's one that almost guarantees, with a high rate of return, that the remote control is going to stop on whatever channel it happens to be on. In that movie, I've said it before, Tombstone. Oh, yeah. Kurt Russell, Sam Elliott, Bill Paxton as the Earp Brothers. Of course, the role of his life, Val Kilmer playing Doc Holliday. I mean, how many notable quotes come from that single movie? And most of them came from, you know, Val Kilmer's character. Why, Johnny Ringo, you look as though somebody just walked on your grave. And of course, the maddening challenge that I guarantee you every man has repeated at least once in his life. I'm your Huckleberry. I love that movie. Here's the thing. Here's why I say all that. Here's my point. I would bet that any of the movies that you love, which have quotable lines, sayings that stick with you, I would bet that most of them say things that get people banned by snowflakes on social media. It's because heroes don't talk like politically correct non-binary lip syncers who squint in the sun and run to their safe spaces when the mean old everyday salt of the earth real people make society function by saying something, I don't know, normal. There is nothing inspiring about tepid words. The great speeches, the halftime locker room inspirations, the quotes that fire us up or inspire us to action, those don't come from a highly moderated, overly sensitive alternate reality where people who are not even part of the conversation are allowed to judge the merits and worth of your words. By the way, after the fact, and oh, by the way, out of context. I mean, wow, what would Tombstone have been like if it had been more like, why, Johnny Ringo, hello, I don't want to be offensive or cause you any concern, but I believe I need to intervene in this tense situation. That would be a hard no. Now, I get it. Words can be offensive. And it's true that bullying often starts with words. Emotional abuse and suppressive language, those can damage people, and I get it. I've also said for years that if you can't express yourself without profanity or threats, then you either lack education, lack intelligence, or you lack self-control, or maybe all the above. So in any event, if threats and profanity are your go-tos, then you need to work on your vocabulary. But that's not what I'm talking about here. What I am talking about is a return to dialogue. I'm talking about the ability for people to express their opinions, to lace them with humor, to laugh at themselves, and even laugh at others, and risk being laughed at by others, to sort of jack up the opposition when they're wrong and tell them what line they're not allowed to cross, to be able to share your thoughts with others without concern that a non-participant is going to be triggered by them and attempt to intervene somehow after the fact and out of context and then provide some kind of penalty or limitation on your ability to do so again. Facebook did that. They became the harbingers of truth and the gatekeepers of misinformation. Twitter became its own worst enemy. Google announced now they're finally doing away with DEI. TikTok might go the way of the dodo bird. We don't know yet. Instagram, we'll see. The bottom line, though, is that the electronic public square is real. It's here to stay. And there is certainly a need for decorum, and profanity and pornography and child exploitation and other criminal conduct should not be allowed. I get it, and I agree. But actual people talking and sharing opinions should never be governed by overly sensitive soy boys who sit in cry rooms who only want the world to be more like anime. Liberals are generally uninspiring. Their words don't motivate me, except to make me want to galvanize more conservatives to get to action. So that's what we're going to keep doing here at Right Side Radio. I got my Facebook page back. And we're going to keep using the medium of every social media platform and radio to continue to reach thousands of people every day. And we're taking back all of it. And I think most of you are. And from what we can see from here, it's actually working. So, hey, liberal snowflakes, I'm your Huckleberry. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way.